books at the moment, and I want to share it with you in just a second when we meet the author. We've Come to Take You Home by Susan Gander. We'll talk to Susan after Dexy's Midnight Runners. Little bit of a memory for you. 1982 it was. Do you remember Come On Eileen? It's Midnight Runners and Come On Eileen. I want you to go back in time with me now to the First World War and then smack bang into the present day once again. It's what's known sometimes as a time slip. When was the last time you read a time slip or a time travel novel? Well, there's a novel with a real difference which has really grabbed my attention, really. It's called We Come to Take You Home, and it's by Susan Gander. And what's interesting about Susan is this is her debut novel, but she's also a TV story consultant who's worked with Casualty, made that a hit show over the years, by taking on those more difficult stories. So it's hardly surprising that this one is, to coin the cliche, a real page-turner. I am delighted to have Susan Gander on the show with us this afternoon. Susan, a warm welcome to BBC Essex.
Thank you, Tony.
It's lovely to have you on today, and congratulations on the novel. I am halfway through at the moment, and I'm just trying to remember what it's like to have a wine hangover. So you'll know whereabouts I am in the book.
Okay, how many glasses of wine per page are you getting through?
It's that moment in time when she wakes up in the room. But I'm always aware that whenever I'm doing any of these interviews, the last thing I want to do is do a spoiler, because one of the things about this book is it's great to just approach it without knowing too much about it. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely, yeah. And you can't actually talk about it in too much depth, because if you do, you do spoil it.
Yes.
But basically, two girls, Sam Foster, Jessica Brown. As you said, Jess lives in the 20th century, 1916, and Sam lives now in the 21st century. And they're 100 years apart, but in the book, I'm not going to tell you how they come together, which is the essence of the book, really, the past and the present coming together.
Yes, and two girls who are, it's fair to say, both struggling with similar emotions. And that's what interested me a great deal about these girls, is that they're both going through something, you know, big, very traumatic in their lives, but at very, very different times.
Absolutely. In Jess's case, it's April 1916, and the First World War has broken out, and thousands of men are going off to fight. And her dad is about to be one of those men. A year later, he's still alive. A lot of those men would actually have been dead by then. But things are really bad at home, and Jess actually has to steal to keep her family from starving. And then a telegram arrives, and it just gets worse and worse.
Yes, absolutely. One thing I will say, and again, not giving anything away too much, is that your descriptions of what it was like to be working, there's a part where the character is going into working into servitude in this huge house, and the way you paint those pictures and the way you bring to life what it was like to work in those days is amazing, really. There's an awful lot of research involved in this.
Absolutely, yes. I spent at least a year, 2 years reading letters, diaries, anything I could get my hands on, really. In Jess's case, she goes into service, and she's a maid of all work. And it was a time when it was very difficult to get servants, because the men had gone to fight. The women were actually getting better jobs. They were working in armament factories, and it was very difficult to get servants. So poor old Jess ends up looking after a house and a family all on her own.
Yeah.
And she's 15 years old, and the work, you know, is up at 5, bed at midnight. Relentless work.
Yeah. And where she's come from, of course, is extreme poverty as well. So in a way, it's interesting to see how she adapts herself to this really hard work. But of course, where she's come from, she has, and her family have, absolutely nothing.
It's interesting you say that. Yes, she's poor, but in fact, this is very difficult to say, she was, if you like, happy poor. The family were together, they had a roof over their head, they had food, they had wood for the fire, there was just enough money with the wages from her father, maybe to get some medicine if someone was ill. A treat was a slice of ham on Sunday. That wouldn't be our idea of a treat, but for Jess it was. And then she goes to this house, and I suppose you'd say things and will get better for her, and her mother sends her up there, because it's a house that her mother has worked in, and you think it must be better, but of course the hours that she has to work, and also the extreme loneliness, no one talking to you.
Yes.
You know, you're invisible, you can't look at somebody when they're talking to you, you have to stare at the floor. Very, very lonely, desperate.
Mm. Well, stay with us, Susan. Lots more to talk about. We'll just have a quick look at what's going on the roads. So we're back, smack back to 2016 in one leap here. Susan Gander is my special guest this afternoon at BBC Essex. But let's go back, first of all, to Barry Lewis. Barry, the theme
yes.
tune we were looking for, just to put you out of your misery,
right,
was
okay.
Half an hour ago, was Morse.
Oh, really?
It was Morse.
Oh, no.
It's Morse, of course. I even
Morse
said to you, I said, Barry Lewis... Do you
yeah.
not know what I'm talking about, Barry Lewis? Lewis Morse?
I know.
Oh, there we are, you see.
BBC Essex Travel.
I tried. And then again. Maybe too often. How's it looking on the roads, mate?
Obviously, I'm just not with it today, and I didn't get it. The North Station Road about Colchester, there's been an accident involving a couple of vehicles on Mile End Road. There's two in traffic now, both ways, with the road half complete block, both ways just near to the big supermarket. Happened around 2:30 this afternoon. Accident now cleared at Rochford on Ashington Road, A130. A bit busy southbound, heading down towards Beckenham Turnpike from the A12 at Howell Green, with barrier repairs there blocking one lane. And the arterial road West Thurrock. That accident now cleared, heading towards the motorway from towards the M25, that being from the Pilgrims roundabout. Still very, very busy there, and all around at Lakeside Shopping Centre as a result. Extra slow Londonbound on the A13 and the roadworks as well, towards the M25 at Junction 30. Long queue clockwise towards Junction 30 at the M25 and down towards there from Junction 29 at the A127. But better news anti-clockwise around Waltham Abbey. That accident has now been cleared between Enfield and Potter's Bar, so that's quite quickly back to normal. Looking okay on the county's trains. I'm Harry Lewis, next update in 30 minutes.
Call 0330 123 3551. BBC Essex Travel. This is BBC Essex, where Essex comes to talk. Sadie 9.
How is the storm affecting you? What have you woken up to this morning?
A greenhouse has taken a hit. There's at least 4 panels of glass gone. It's taken the door right off its sliding track and blown it down onto the lawn. There's broken glass everywhere.
We woke up this morning and the tiles have come off the roof, taken out the satellite dish and killed the Christmas tree.
Friday morning, we woke up with the dogs barking like mad. Came downstairs to see discovered that the flat roof of our extension, which runs in the length of the back of the house, had sprung a leak.
We just came past the airfield and we couldn't believe it because there's an aeroplane upside down.
Sadie 9, weekdays from 9. This is BBC Essex.
Always love chatting to authors on this show. Today, it's the turn of Susan Gander, my special guest. We are talking about her debut novel, We've Come to Take You Home. But Susan, of course, stories are no stranger to you, as you are one of, I mentioned earlier on, the UK's leading TV story consultants working on casualty. Tell us exactly what a story consultant does. What's your job exactly?
Right. We commission writers. We work with the writers on what stories they want to tell in their particular episode. But probably more important than that, we watch where a series is going. We decide what stories we're going to cover, what's going to happen to the regular characters. Indeed, we, you know, sometimes we have to kill off a regular character because it simply isn't working. So really, I would say it's a bit like being the editor of a newspaper. You know, the editor of a newspaper basically edits, chooses on the content or style of a particular newspaper for that day. And so a story consultant, story editor, or whatever you want to call it, we're responsible for the story content of individual episodes and indeed series, and working with writers and choosing writers.
Wow.
It's a wonderful job.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah, absolutely. And a huge responsibility too, I would imagine, because casualty has now become one of the stalwarts of night television, of weekend evening televisions, and during the week as well. It's become part of our culture almost, hasn't it? You know, it's casualty, it's a certain time of the night, it's stayed that way for quite a long time now. So that responsibility gets higher, of course, I suppose, the more successful the show becomes.
Absolutely, and it's very difficult to keep the energy up once the show has been going on for that long. I mean, I actually joined it at the second series when it was failing. And the BBC were actually talking about pulling it. And I was put on as a trainee because I think everybody thought, well, you know, she might make things better, she probably can't make things much worse. But actually, we changed the shape of the show. We brought in new writers, we upped the individual episode story content, making it less, if you like, soapy, and more each episode having a very, very strong story in its right. We gave the writers their head to come up with ideas and do what they wanted to do. And it absolutely flourished. It went from 7 million up to rocketing up to 14 million, which is unheard of in these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you are dealing sometimes with very difficult issues, aren't you? In a fictional place, what you're doing is you're taking things that really affect people in real life.
Absolutely. there was one story actually that went into a show, and it came out of Chelmsford Hospital. I did a research trip to Chelmsford Hospital, and I was in A&E, and there was an elderly lady who had come in, and she was incredibly upset, but no one could work out why she was upset, and people sat with her, but eventually the medical nursing staff ran out of time, and they said, "Now come on, Susan, you go in and sit with her." So they gave me a white coat and a stethoscope and said, "You know, just go and give her some time." So I gave her some time, and she began to talk. And what had happened, unbelievably, was that her husband had died 2 weeks earlier, but he was still at home. He was still sitting in his armchair in front of the electric fire. And she hadn't known who to go to and who to talk to, and she ended up in the hospital. And I went out, told everybody on A&E, the staff nurse, and of course social services, kicked into action. And we did do that story, actually, in an episode. But it was very touching, and I was able to help in a very small way.
Isn't it amazing? That another example there of fact being, you know, stranger than fiction, really.
Well, you'd never write it, would you?
No.
You wouldn't make it up.
No
one would believe you, but it absolutely was true. And when she told me, I just thought, oh,
yeah.
Can you imagine?
Incredible, isn't it? Going back to the book, there's one part of this book which amazed me, because I love time travel, but there are so many times that time travel, you read it and you don't quite buy it, whether it's in a book or whether it's on a film or a TV show. Something doesn't quite add up. Now, again, I don't want to give anything away in this, but there is, and it says here in the literature, so I think I'm free in saying it, there is a time slip element to the narrative of this story. And I just wanted to know how you go about writing time travel, or time slips for that matter, and where that's coming from exactly.
Firstly, can I just say, I really dislike the term time travel, because
yeah.
it immediately makes me think of TARDISes and Doctor
yes,
Who's.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And my book is absolutely not Doctor Who, and there are no TARDISes.
No.
Absolutely.
Quite the opposite, actually.
Quite the opposite. Absolutely.
Anderson Shelters, maybe.
Yeah.
But not,
well, put it like this. Time slip. Can you imagine you go to bed one night and you wake up in the middle of the night and you're in somebody else's bed, in somebody else's bedroom,
yeah.
in somebody else's life? And I think time slips, or even life slips, might be a good way of describing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happens to Sam, who is our 2016 girl.
Yes.
Her dad is rushed into hospital with a brain hemorrhage. So, like, exactly like Jess, her world is being torn apart. Both are losing their fathers. And when his condition worsens, Sam's dreams get more and more frequent and more frightening. And then she realises that basically she's not dreaming, and what she's actually living is somebody else's nightmare.
Yeah.
And that's what the essence of the book is about.
Yeah. It's that waking up, isn't it, and looking around you, and sort of you recognise, you know, the recumbent position you're in or something, but you see around you curtains, wallpaper, that kind of thing,
yeah.
and suddenly
the
that realise, yes.
The door's in the wrong place.
Yes. How frightening. That to me chills me, that idea, because I think there's something in all of us that kind of want to experience that. We'd like to experience that, wouldn't we?
We would, and we sometimes do, I think. You know, people laugh about coincidences and things that go bump in the night, and a number of people you meet, you say, well, I'm sure I saw somebody standing on that landing, you know, it looked a bit, I don't know, was it a ghost or wasn't it a ghost? We've all been touched by it. That's what the book's about, really. Is there somebody else, something else out there?
Yes, and those strong emotions. I suppose as adults as well, we are very quick to dismiss things as just being coincidence, aren't we? Or, oh, it was a trick of the light, or it was just, you know, because we want to rationalise everything that happens around us, don't we?
Absolutely. And something that happened to me when I was a child, my mother absolutely swore that when I was about 1 year old, every afternoon at a certain time, I used to watch something coming through a door, walk across the room, through the door on the other side of the room. And she said, I wasn't frightened of it. I always used to smile and wave, and, you know. But my poor mother was completely spooked. Mm-hmm. And she moved us out of that flat pretty fast. And but to this day, I don't. If I saw something and she said, I definitely did, I don't know what that something was.
Mm.
But maybe I don't ever want to know what it was.
Mm. And Mary, you do hear stories. Now, I'm almost convinced that when we were young, we lived in what was then termed as a sick house.
Oh, yes.
So much had happened within those walls that we weren't quite sure why, but we had some, when we were younger, we had some horrendous things happen to us while we were in that house, and we got out of there. And when we look back, things had happened previously to previous occupants of the house. Things that we couldn't ever explain that happened to us, you know.
Yes.
We were falling out more. There was a feeling around the house. And ever since then, I've kind of always had an open mind, should we say, about these things.
I think so. I think always keep your mind open. But also, I think, and this is, careful here, spoiler alert.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you're doing all this, because I'm really careful.
What I'm trying to say as well is that sometimes the things that you're frightened of, don't be frightened of.
Yes, don't have nightmares.
No.
And all that.
Not unless you wake up on a First World War battlefield, in which case I think you should be a bit worried.
You've got every right to, I would say, in that case. Congratulations on the book. The other thing I wanted to mention very briefly as well is that if, like me, you read a lot commuting, which I do, because obviously the nature of the show is I read quite a lot of books, you have wonderfully short chapters in this, which are always great, because I find that with books with short chapters, you know where you're at when you take it up again, if you know what I mean, if you're reading it in short bursts. And was that something you intentionally did?
Yes, absolutely. I'd read a lot of young adult, and I noticed with young adult novels, short chapters definitely seem to be the way to go. And also, when people say to me, look, at the end of the day, I'm so tired, I don't want to read. I say, you can read my book. It will take you 5 minutes a chapter. Every night, just get through 5 minutes.
Yes.
And it works, you know, and people do, five minutes a night, 10 minutes a night, a chapter a night, and hey presto, it's read.
Yes,
and hopefully enjoyed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm certainly enjoying it at the moment. Susan,
Thank you.
Pleasure having you on the show with us this afternoon. We've come to take you home. Is it out now, by the way?
Yes, it was published exactly a week ago, 28th of March.
Lovely.
So it's on Amazon and it's in all good bookshops.
Fantastic. Well, come back on the show. This is your debut novel, as I mentioned earlier. Are you penning the next one now?
I'm thinking about it, and I think we might go. I'd be very sad to leave Sam and Jess and indeed Tom, because there is a male in the books.
Yes.
I'd be very fond of them. I've been with them for a number of years now, and it'd be nice to see them, give them another life in another book. Maybe the Second World War.
Ooh, we look forward to it. Maybe, who knows? Susan, lovely to chat to you. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Susan Gandow. We Come to Take You Home is out now. And great to chat with you this afternoon as well. More great authors coming on the show over the next